This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special offer.
Holy love triangle. Tonight we are talking about two infamous romances, Camilla and Charles and how they started their love triangle, and then King Henry VIII and Wallace Simpson are back. You don't want to miss tonight's episode of The Crown After Show starting now.
I'm Maria Menounos, and you're tuned in to AfterBuzz TV, the ESPN of TV talk.
Hello, 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 hello. Welcome to The Crown After Show on AfterBuzz TV. I am your host, Sahai Wilson, and tonight we will be talking about Episode 8, Dangling Man. We'll also be breaking down our special segments. The tweets are talking. We have news and gossip. We have some information about how Elizabeth got on that stamp. And we also have the live chat that you should be in tonight. But first, let me introduce you to my co-host, Tehran.
Hello, hello, hello. Hello, Gumna.
How you holding up, Tehran? We doing two back-to-backs.
I love it. Spot okay. Of tea.
Tehran is my right-hand man, my work husband. He's a comedian and my in-house historian.
I think we should see other people.
No.
It's not me,
we
it's
will
you.
Never break up, Tehran. You can't no. Quit me.
Okay, Elizabeth.
I am your queen, Tehran. I am. Well, my name is Sahai Wilson. I am a producer. I produce television, social media, and podcasts. And I'm a host here at AfterBuzz. But I also just love everything royal and royal family. So I'm excited about this show. And I'm excited about this episode. What were your overall thoughts?
First of all, my man Derek Jacobi was on the screen, right? So
yeah.
That's like one of the best actors of all time. He's always just like, he's just an actor. He's an actor's actor.
Yes,
so it was
course.
great to have seen him. And just getting that storyline back, seeing that awkwardness between Elizabeth and her uncle, just the tension, just him still plotting on his deathbed, like basically kind of screwing things up, like, here. Like, he didn't have to give the letters over. He gave the letters and was like, yo. And it wasn't like a warning because he still tried to, in a way, inspire Charles to do the wrong thing. Well, for the royal family, at least, not
right.
For his heart.
Yes.
But the whole thing was, I mean, it was treacherous. It was manipulative. I loved it.
Yeah. As someone who grew up watching this infamous relationship between Camilla and Charles, to see how it started and to see that they knew each other, which came out later on. But, you know, during the Diana days, she was just like a homewrecker and a scallywag. So to see that this was the woman that Charles, kind of like his first real relationship and crush, and just a little backstory about her was really interesting to me. And then, you know, my girl Anne and Andrew had their thing.
Yeah, but Andrew was such an F-boy. He was like, right after he finished, he's like, by the way, just to let you know, Camilla. I just want to let you know, this was good, but Camilla. My heart will always be with Camilla.
Yes, we will get into their situationship,
yeah.
Because that's exactly what that whole thing was. Let's start with King Edward and Wallace. Like, you know, they're in exile in France, and Wallace.
That's where you go when you go into exile, by the way. A lot of people end up in France.
Yes.
Once they go into exile. I don't know why France is that exile destination of choice. I don't know why.
Maybe because they're just open-minded.
I don't know why.
There. I don't know. I would love to go. But they have a guest coming, and it is the Emperor of Japan, who is judging Edward for being in exile, and then yet Wallace and he are judging the Emperor for never having left Japan, which I found interesting. It's just like, everybody's so judgy.
Well, they're royals. That's what royals do.
That's what they do, no matter what.
We're all peasants.
Yeah. And then we see that Edward is coughing up blood, and we know what that means.
Yeah, you're dead. Once you're coughing up blood, I don't know why in television talk, once you cough up blood, you're gone.
You're gone.
Time's up.
But remember, who else coughed up blood? His father.
Ooh.
Was it? Yeah. No, His brother.
His brother.
There we go. You guys know what I meant.
But we knew it's like a father.
Right. Father figure.
Fatherly.
Right. But yeah, so here history is repeating itself. The cancer is knocking down another royal family member, and his days are numbered. But you know what Wallace says? We're not going to let that get us down. We should throw a party. Did you hear her? I was like, Wallace, this is not the time.
But that's Wallace in Wallace fashion. At least the Wallace we've seen throughout the iterations in The Crown.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. And so this is happening. Edward and Wallace are in France. And then Charles is, you know, continually having this coming of age. And he asked to visit his uncle. And do you think that was a good move for him? Why do you think Charles wanted to go visit his uncle?
He sees a bit of himself in his uncle, at least in the wanting or understanding of the abdication of the throne. So we've seen this. Charles is not as happy about the duties as much as he should be. And so Edward did something that he would probably most likely never do, but definitely a cliffhanger at the end where if we don't know what happens in history, we're like, he abdicates.
Right. Yeah. But here it is, going to see his uncle, who we see Philip hates with a passion. And Charles's grandma hates him with a passion. Like, that was a risk within itself. Why do you think he would be willing to take that risk and knowing how many of his family members hate this guy?
In my opinion on the show, it is a rebel. It's the, I'm going to do this. You know when you didn't want to be home, but you knew you couldn't go to a friend's house, but you could always go to your cousin's house.
Okay.
You know, like, yeah, they can't stop you from doing this, you know?
Right.
Or let's say if you have your child with divorced parents, it's like, I'm going to dad's. You can't tell me I can't go to dad's.
Right.
I can't go out. I'm grounded from going out, but I can go to dad's. It was a similar, this was his way of basically doing what he wanted and sticking it to the man, which happens to be the woman, the queen.
True. And it's a continuation of him saying, I have a voice. And so I agree. It's definitely part of this rebellious spirit that we see him having. Like,
yeah,
you know, I think he's like, okay, you guys think I'm weak, but I'll show you. And he shows them in his own way. But he becomes very close to his uncle. I think he's also searching out for male figures that he can connect with, because he obviously can't even connect with his own dad.
Yeah, his father's not giving him that sympathetic love. So I could see the Duke of Windsor being sympathetic, at least. Well, see, now after watching the end, was he doing it? At first I thought, oh, that's nice of him. But now it seems like he was like, oh, I'm going to get you guys back again. I'm still mad that I was exiled or something.
You thought the letters, and we'll talk about that, you thought that was malicious?
Very malicious.
I thought it was helpful to kind of say, here, your son can't talk to you. I'm going to show you what's really on
his
mind.
Sure, but then at the same time, he also influenced Charles to continue in a way. So it's not, and he knows that what does this path lead down?
Right.
But so basically he's saying, oh, remember how you got rid of me? Well, you have one of these in your own family. Now what?
But at this time, it wasn't a threat. Charles wasn't a married man. Camilla wasn't married. So it wasn't a scandal. It was just a girl that he liked. And Edward was actually encouraging him to just get into a relationship and to find simply a wife. But he didn't tell him, go find a mistress. Charles did that on his own.
Yeah, he did.
So in addition to this, Edward and Wallace decide, let's do a little interview. And here we again have the power of television being used by royal family members to get a message across.
Exactly. The media plays a new part. And you, Sahai, you had mentioned how important the media starts becoming, especially in season 3. We see the media plays a part time and time again, whether it's Cecil King trying to throw a coup, or the royal family documentary on BBC, the news that gets out, the broadcast, the investiture, and now this.
Yep. And so everyone is like, okay, Philip is like, I can't even watch this. Elizabeth, you sit here and watch this by yourself. And her expression as she watched it surprised me. I expected her to be disgusted, like her mother was. Her mother is so upset. But Elizabeth looked intrigued at seeing what her uncle had to say about why he abdicated the throne and his reason behind it. Did that
I'm watching you? Once again. No, I'm watching once again this continuation, the theme that I've seen throughout this especially this story arc, the last three ever since Aberfan, is the unlived life. Mm-hmm. And once again, this is a curiosity for Elizabeth. What would have happened had I done this as well? Or what would have happened had I got to be as close to normal as possible? Or what? I want to understand why someone would do this. Or it's so foreign to her that it's interesting. It's intriguing. She doesn't have the same. She doesn't despise Edward the same as her family, because she was young. She doesn't despise the same way. Once again, going back to the concept of a divorce, how the child, a young child, doesn't despise their parent, an older child might,
right.
Or you know, or the ex-spouse might. She's in a situation where, in my opinion, she simply is curious. Does she have disdain for Edward and what he did? Yes. She looks down on it. She's definitely looks down on it. Even when she goes to visit him, she's looking down at him.
I think it's because she thinks he's weak for doing it.
It is.
Yeah. And not like she hates who he is.
And we've seen that how her attitude towards Charles is very similar.
Right. Yeah.
Because she thinks he's an Edward.
Right. And her queen mother hates Prince Edward, King Edward, well, former King Edward, because
Duke of Windsor,
because he basically stole her husband from her. And, oh, but do you think she's like, aha, payback? Now you're dying. Do you think so?
I don't think it was that harsh. It's not like she gave him cancer and was like, vengeance.
I know.
So I don't think it was that much, but Caribbean. I do think she thinks he's getting his just dues. But at the same time, he's also lived a pretty full life. It's not like he died young.
Was it surprising to you how he still was harping on the fact that he was no longer king? Like, I thought, I'm like, okay, you're old now. You would be comfortable with this decision. You got the woman that you wanted. You're not poor. You know, you're still living a pretty good life. But it still seemed like something that ate away at him all the time.
That's why I think what he did was malicious. Mm. Because I felt like this was his get back for that somehow. And also, you made the choice. You knew what was going to happen. What did you think was going to happen?
Yeah, kind of like, you got rid of me, but there's another one coming up, but that I've trained.
Exactly. Like, all I know is Wallace and Camilla must have that Erykah Badu. Good. I don't understand. There's no way. When I hear these stories, it drives me insane. When I hear these stories of people who get divorces and have to pay the $70 billion or abdicating their throne for, I just cannot fathom.
You know what I think it is? It's the situation where you have someone that is less experienced and then they meet someone that's more experienced in the boudoir. We have, King Edward, he didn't know what was going on. Wallace had been around, She had traveled to other countries and she learned some tricks.
Maybe. I mean, I don't even want to make it sound like it's all sexual, but it's got to be something.
But
it's
got to be something. I mean, the good good.
The good good simply because I've seen what happened to Andre between Outkast and Andre 3000 and Common and all those guys. And I'm just calling it the good. There's an effect that happens. And I'm not blaming the woman at all.
Right.
I'm blaming it on the men for how addicted are they to these women. I don't understand it.
I think in addition to the physical portion of that, I think these women are exposing them to things that they may not have experienced. Or
I don't know.
But in addition to that, these women are strong women. Wallace is a strong woman. Camilla is a strong woman.
She's definitely, they're both very opinionated.
Yes, and they can kind of pull these guys and kind of maneuver them.
But are we calling Edward and Charles betas? To the Camilla and Wallace's alpha.
Yes. I think there's, that's how you have balance.
Well, maybe that's my problem. Yeah, that's my problem. Maybe that's my problem. I just could never fathom it. I'm telling you right now, mm-hmm. I could never see myself parting with this for that.
It's not for you. It's going to be something else, guys. I'm calling it now. Season 4, Taron's going to be madly in love and engaged. I've said it. Trust me, it's going
to
happen.
To myself, it's tough for me to understand. That's all.
Okay. Well,
I hope so. I hope that that would be wonderful.
See you.
Especially if it was possibly to a princess who has decided to date below her, an Aladdin Jasmine situation. I would be down for that. Oprah, if you're single. I am too.
I can see. Okay, I'm putting it out there. She's royal. She is
exactly
a queen, some royalty of some kind.
If you see me with Rihanna, yeah, I'd lock it down. You know, just depends.
She's got someone, but that's okay.
Does she?
Yeah,
I've seen it before.
But you know, who else doesn't have someone? Andrew out here meets the lovely Anne. So they meet at this party, and Anne is like the hot girl of the moment, I think. And she comes
She's the popular girl. She's the mean girl. She's the it girl. She's cool. Everyone knows her. You know, she's the life of the party.
And confident. So we see that Camilla and Andrew interact when they're at a bar. He's waiting for her. And she comes in to greet him, but she's actually waiting on another man. And I was like, you know what? That's a boss move. Appreciate that. He obviously cheated on her and he wanted her to forget about it. And she was like, you know what? I'm going to do the same to you, which I thought was interesting, but also the sign of a very toxic relationship.
Very toxic. They're both whores. Anyway.
Or, you know,
with no judgment.
Free spirited.
No judgment.
So during this downtime, Andrew ends up meeting Anne, which, do you see Andrew starts with an A and Anne starts with an A? Coincidence? I think not. Then Charles meets
Camilla. Yes, it's a coincidence. I don't think that has anything to do with anything. Did you say Charles and Camilla both start with C's?
Yes.
I think it has nothing else, nothing to do, but except for the fact that the royals are limited in names. It's Charles or Anne. Or, you know how many Anne's they've gone through? You know, Charles. They don't even go Edward. There's so many Edwards. They call him David or whatever.
I know. I was like, so many names. Too many names.
What's going on? They're just like, they basically just throw open the Bible and they go, there you go. James, that's you. What about me? Well, James, you too.
But I love the fact, I mean, nowadays, you know, Camilla wasn't at home crying over her cheating boyfriend. She was like, you know what? I will show you. And that speaks to the type of woman that she is. Whether or not this really happened, we don't know. But
sure. They took liberties, possibly. One of the things, she's cheering for Charles to get Andrew. I mean, they just have a toxic relationship.
Very much so. First of all, why was she there? I was like, okay. And then she was loud.
To get him jealous.
And brash.
To get him jealous.
Which is just crazy. And
good.
Did you feel sorry for Charles knowing that he was in the middle of this love triangle? Because Anne knew what was going on. She was like, listen, make sure we're playing them, they're not playing us.
Yes. I don't know if I necessarily could ever feel sorry for Charles. Did I understand his predicament? No, simply because I would never be in that predicament.
You've never been unknowingly in a love triangle?
No.
Okay.
Unknowingly, knowingly, no. And if it was, it wouldn't be a love triangle. It's very foreign to me.
Well,
to be this lost over a situation that is so toxic and destructive. And to me, this is self-destructive. I just don't exhibit these types of behaviors.
Well, I think, you know, what I liked about Anne's character is that she walked into the situation knowing exactly what it was. She knew that Andrew and Camilla were still off and on.
She was just trying to get hers. I felt that vibe from her.
Yeah, but at the same time, I think she you know, Wendy Williams always says that women can't have casual sex because we always end up falling for the guy.
I feel like Wendy Williams was saying that based on all the things that happened with her husband. So
no,
I could see her feeling that way. Sorry, Wendy, who hurt you? Oh, I know.
Wendy's my girl. I love her. But no, I think it's some women, even when you think you're being strong and you're like,
sure,
I got this. I know what I'm doing. I know what's going on. You start getting used to that person. You start getting into a routine with them. You just merely seeing them, even though it may be casual, that starts becoming a part of your life that you enjoy. So we'll see what happens with Anne and Andrew, because I think this is not... It's not over. And she starts
historically out, we know this,
yes,
I guess.
Definitely. And then he also was surprised by her confidence, which, where do you think she got that confidence and that know?
I'm telling you, I feel like she's more Margaret. I know you think she's more Philip. Maybe it's a blend of the two.
Okay.
I know she's not Elizabeth.
No. Not at all. But the fact she was young and she was many, when you're young and you're starting to date and you fall for someone that's handsome and charming and,
sure,
you know, cute, it you go into it thinking, okay, you start planning. Like sometimes as women, we start planning in our head our futures with this person. And
you want to know something interesting? As men, we do the same thing.
Do you really?
No.
Okay.
I'm not. Not often. When we plan our future, this is how I'm going to hit. Like, we don't really. And we see that with Andrew when 2 minutes after, I will not get over that. Like, they just finished. And he was just like, by the way, Camilla. So.
No, but I appreciate that transparency.
He was honest, but really transparent. It was after. Why not
matter.
Before? He could have stopped it before, like, hey, by the way, before we do this,
true.
I just want to let you know, Camilla. He waited. He finished. And then he was like, Camilla.
Yeah, grimy, just like a lot of other guys out
Who
here.
Who hurt you?
Yeah. Uh-huh. But no, yes, the information came after the fact, but I appreciate that he gave her that information
sure.
and didn't hide it and then have her find out
I
another way. So. That was really well played, I shall say. But Charles, on the other hand, is really naive and saying, you know, I know I heard they broke up. They should be over. Not understanding that, you know, breakup to makeup is a thing. People break up, then they get back together.
He's hopeful, wishful thinking. He's young. He's stupid.
True.
I think this is, if this is not his first real relationship, at least on the show, we haven't seen him
right.
with anyone.
I mean, he barely had friends in Wales.
Exactly. So, exactly. Because I'm thinking, if I'm the prince and I'm in Wales, bro. So here we get Charles. I feel like this is his first real love and he doesn't know how to express or feel or think or do or
be. Yeah, and this is another person that he can be himself with and open up to because he doesn't have to be Prince Charles around her. He can just be Charles. But do you think, okay, two questions. Twice I heard Camilla say, but you're going to be king, so referencing that. And I was like, girl, like, calm down.
She's thirsty?
Yeah, I think she's a little thirsty.
I don't know. In the show, it came off thirsty.
Okay, okay. And then two, do you think Camilla and Andrew plotted all along? Like, hey, I'm going to get Anne.
No.
You get
no.
Charles.
No, no, no. I don't think that was the case. I think that there's a small circle when it comes to being in this elite air. And it turns out, if you ever watch Melrose Place or anything like that,
oh, I did.
Once you are in that circle, like if you want to get two animals to mate, what do? You put them in a cage, right?
Right.
So this is a cage, except it's a social cage, and they get around here. It reminds me of actually on Apple Plus, they have that show Dickens, it's about Emily Dickens and her brother's in love with this girl that she's in love with, and it's a similar thing. It's just like. Oh. They're all in this place, and it's not like Camilla doesn't have that good, and Andrew doesn't have that good. You know, he's good looking, he's charming, he's sweet.
Yeah, very handsome. Yeah,
he's handsome. He's the stud.
Okay.
You know?
Well, we'll say that they're not plotting.
I don't think so.
Okay. Okay.
That would be an interesting twist if we find out that they knew the whole time.
You never know. Because the fact that she kept on referencing that Charles was going to be king, I was like, okay, she felt a little bit kind of like a social climber. Like,
sure, but then also, who else to better get Andrew jealous with than? The only guy who, no matter who's in the land, that's the one up.
I mean, you saw the way when she walked into that house. That's one thing with Charles. Charles could be as awkward as he want to be, but no matter what, all he has to say is, I'm the prince. And, I mean, that...
I will be king. Like, to me,
amazing.
That's a card.
Right.
That is a card to use at any time. That is the get into the club card. Like, oh, I'm sorry, sir, we're full. Yeah, yeah. I'm gonna be king. So let's.
I mean, he's got the
right
British
away,
accent,
yeah,
you know.
Right away,
he. There isn't a sweetness to him. He may not be as confident and as say an Andrew, but there's a sweetness which
he
is
was
disarming.
Born in the wrong time. Nerds are in now, right? After Superbad, nerds get it. That awkward Michael Cera thing gets all the girls.
True.
You know?
And smart. I mean, what girl doesn't love a smart guy?
He's smart. He's educated. He's sweet.
That's what I'm saying.
He's caring. He actually really likes Camilla. Like, he genuinely likes her.
I mean, prepared for the date. Now,
yeah,
nowadays, guys barely, you can't even get them to light a candle.
What do you mean we prepare for dates? So you think Netflix is cheap? You think these pillows fluff themselves? Like, you are out of your mind. I had to change my sheets and everything. You better get in this bed.
I hope. I would
you better
hope.
Watch this show.
Goodness, Lord. I hope the sheets are changed. But, you know, unlike Tehran here, Charles actually was excited about this dinner. And he even had a little prank, which, you know, things were going well. I was like, okay, smooth. You smooth operator, Charles. And then he had the prank. And I was like, there you go.
He was being silly. He thought it was playful. It came off awkward, yes.
But she liked it. I think it took her, it disarmed her.
Of course she liked it. He's the king to be. Like, here, I always make this point. Everyone's like, oh, look at Jay-Z and Beyonce. Yeah, does Beyonce date Jay-Z, the cashier at Rite Aid? No, it's Jay-Z, the king of rap. And so that's who gets Beyonce.
Right,
so,
of course.
So when Charles does a prank, he's still the king to be of England.
Right.
I'm sure everything he does is just a little more cute.
Yeah, you know? I think also the reason that Charles likes Camilla is because his sister's a strong woman. His mama's a strong woman.
Yeah, Camilla. So, oh, that's an interesting
point. So that's why he's attracted to her.
I like that.
You know, he's used to women bossing him around. So yeah. Camilla feels familiar to him. And I think with her, the attraction is the intrigue of the whole, the him being a royal.
Sure.
You know, the access that she could never have, no matter what circle she's close to. Being inside and seeing how it's operated, she couldn't have seen that without him. So that's my perspective on that. So one of the things that Charles says to Camilla is that, you know, he kind of, remember in the first episode, I said something about Charles kind of hating his mom. I think we kind of see a little bit of that where he says that he dreads and desires his mother's death.
He definitely points out a lot of things, and she might have thought he was joking, but he wasn't.
He said he can't be free until she dies.
Sheesh.
That's harsh, you know? And I think there is a love there similar to, here we go, similar to how Philip hated his mother because he felt like she abandoned him, but he really loved her. Charles has the same type of love-hate with his mom. He hates the fact that she doesn't give him the affection, but he loves her because he wants it from her in the same way. So.
Yeah.
Anne and Andrew, so that's Camilla and Charles. You know, they have this first date, and it's the beginning of what we come to know as this affair that lasts for many, many years. Yeah. I guess it was the beginning, but it never stopped.
Charles really opened up, first of all, to us as the audience, but to Camilla, but to us as the audience, we saw this when he talks about being trapped and compares himself to that Saul Bellows, the dangling man, and does all that.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, once you open up like that,
that's
the person you never get over. And I'll tell you something, as a guy, guys always feel like whenever they're with a girl, they feel like, oh, they always have that girl for the rest of their lives.
I know.
Most interesting phenomenon.
They can get married, and I've had men say to me, I will never let go of you.
Yeah, it's just.
I'm like, you're married.
Let it go. Yeah, you're married. It's your third wife. You're working with your third wife here. What's going on?
No, but they always want to have both.
Like, it's an interesting thing.
Yeah, I think it's because you can. It's like it's kind of like your first love, and the person that you associate with a different time when things were easier.
I don't know.
And then you sometimes have like the wife that represents something different. Then you have kids, more responsibility, more, you know, pressure.
Sure. And maybe all those things. Maybe he opened up. I don't know. It's interesting.
You know who else Charles opened up to was his uncle. You know, here they're corresponding, and they have this relationship where they're writing these letters to each other and building this close relationship. Meanwhile, King Edward is slowly, slowly dying.
Yeah. And will not be denied what you were denied. Like, oh my gosh, let it go, Charles.
I know.
He lives in France, bro. He's exiled. That's who you want to be? That's who you're looking up to right now? That's your role model?
But again, I think it's because he's looking for this sense of freedom in any way he can get it, and that's what exile represents.
I understand
him.
That. Trap me. Trap me, please.
While her uncle is out here sick, Elizabeth heads to Paris again.
Very controversial. Very controversial, her going to Paris.
Talk about that.
Simply because he's still in exile. I mean, she knew this has a lot of implications and a lot of things. It's upsetting some people. It's a lot of things.
Right. We saw her husband told her, no, don't go. Oh,
exactly.
Well, he gonna die. And then Elizabeth has a heart, you know. We've talked about her being so cold towards her son, and yet the man that changed her entire life, she made a detour on this work trip to come see him. Do you think a part of it was like, oh, I feel bad for my uncle, or I need to see him die for myself?
It's a little bit of, I think it was closure. I think, remember, she had a closeness with him as a child.
Oh, he called her Lilibet.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So, and then she has been estranged from him. He's going to die. We have a lot of forgiveness in our hearts when someone is dying or gone.
Yeah, and as we get older, you know, you like Philip did in the previous episode, you're reflecting, and this is a person who knew her before she was the queen, when she was just a wee lad, you know.
Lass.
Wee lass.
Or maybe a lad. We don't really know, you know? I mean, what do I know?
Just a small child. I'll say a small child. So it's sad, and I just need the crown to stop doing things to make me cry, because I just can't. I cried these last three episodes. Something happened. It could be just the holidays, but something always just kind of triggers that emotion. And for me, it was this final scene between Elizabeth and her uncle. It was just super sad.
The snitch, her uncle, the snitch. Here are the letters. You need to go be with her.
I thought it was so helpful because, okay, for example, parents, you know, when kids have a diary, you never know what your kid's writing in there, unless you're like my mom who read my diary. You just don't know. So to have someone give you that opportunity to hear your child's thoughts, I thought it was a parting gift in a sense.
Sure. But first he tells Charles, hey, you can only do whatever you want with the right one by your side. And then gives the letters, knowing that there's no way Elizabeth is going to be on board with this.
I mean, this was, again, prior to Charles being married to Diana. So you don't think there was any moment where Charles said, hey, Ma, I have this girl that I like. Here, she's Camilla, and Elizabeth kind of gave her a chance.
I don't know. I just know the aftermath. So maybe it's difficult for me to see it any other way in that regard, just because of the chaos that it caused, and especially since Princess Diana is Princess Diana.
I know, but I love the fact that we're ramping things up here in episode 8.
Yeah, we're already in the 70s. Like, we jumped ahead. Mm-hmm. We basically, we're in the 70s now. We did the 60s, now we're in the 70s.
Yeah, and
72, at least. I mean, that's when the Duke of Windsor passes, what, May 72, something like that?
Yeah, Elizabeth is very well situated, but Anne is out here partying in these London
in
streets.
These streets.
Charles has a new gal pal, and you know, dear old Edward passes away, and the anguish on Wallace's face was really sad because, you know, it represented the man who gave her this life that she dreamed of, that was gone. And I need to do some research on how it affected her after he died.
Because if she still...
Like, did she have any money? Did they say, okay, bye, like, we're taking everything away?
I'm going to look it up. Yeah. But I remember it being something. There was a change in a life. I will also have to look it up. I remember that being something, or it's tugging in the back of my mind.
Yeah, guys, let us know in the comments. What happened to Wallace after Edward died? Yeah.
Also, we appreciate all your comments,
yes,
of course.
Yes, we really do. Also, what... I think she didn't even get her title till later on. Like, they did not want to give her, like, a royal title, if I remember correctly. I know it was either her or Camilla or both. And you know what? There are a lot of similarities between those two. We kind of...
The way they act. But I think... I liked how you summed it up with the concept of the strong women.
Yeah.
At least the portrayal on the show.
Yeah.
We don't see Elizabeth be Camilla or be Wallace in that regard.
No.
But in that one slice of a characteristic, I could see that being a commonality.
Yeah, but historically, Wallace and Camilla are two women that are considered like homewreckers, you know, that they
ruined the path of destiny.
Yeah, and the public dislike them.
Sure.
You know what I'm saying? So that
they are the other woman in every single case.
Yeah.
And the other woman always gets the short end of that stick.
But no, but Wallace didn't cheat with Edward. He was the other man for her.
She was the other woman in the case of the marriage between Edward and
the throne. True.
Which was his highest priority. So, or supposed to be, at least.
Yeah. Well, during this conversation, this final conversation with her uncle, Elizabeth, who was adamant that, you know, Philip was adamant that she shouldn't go, she kind of gets the closure, as Taran said, that she I don't think she even knew that's what she was going
to
get.
Yeah, but I mean, she definitely, the crown always finds its way to the right head.
I know.
Strong.
But Elizabeth gets closure and Edward gets closure as well, because she says, I forgive you. And I actually, now I can thank you for what you did for me. And I was like, whoa, that was deep. Because he was able, something that was eating away from him that probably, you know, became it became cancerous to him. The feelings of the guilt that he kind of had, or the feeling that he was wronged, ate away at him. And
she also brought up the fact that he called her Shirley Temple, which I thought was cute.
Yes,
funny.
I thought
like
that
I
was
hate
funny.
That name. Why would you call me Shirley Temple? You're Shirley Temple. How about that?
But he, as Taran told you, he gives her these letters that the correspondence that he and Charles have had. Yeah. And Charles in these letters says he wants to make his uncle proud, not his mother, not his father, but his uncle proud, and not be denied what Edward was denied. And I was like, oh, dun, dun, dun. It's the beginning of the
end. It's almost like a self-fulfilling prophecy where to me, Philip and Elizabeth kept saying this is, and then the son becomes the son that they didn't
want. That's true.
Like they kept trying to insinuate that he will do this, and then he ends up doing it because they insinuate that he would do it.
Oh, darn.
They almost created it themselves.
I mean, he's like, okay, you think I'm a monster? Let me be a monster. So, well, that's the end of that episode.
Sure.
But we also have our special segment, The Tweets Are Talking.
They are talking.
So The Tweets Are Talking is when I go into the Twitterscape and find out what you guys are saying about the episode. So our first one is Ali Amjad that says, yeah, Charles is never going to ascend to the throne, is he?
Well, I don't think it's not just the crown. And it's not just the concept of what's going on. It also has a lot to do with a lot of political change will happen once Queen Elizabeth dies, as far as the royal family is concerned.
Right.
So that's the plan, or that's the idea, or that's what's, you know, that's the popular theory.
Well, and especially at this point in the story, that's how he's feeling. Like, okay, you know, this is may never happen for me. Or do you think at this point he has hope? At this point,
I don't think he has. I don't know if he even wants this, right? Mm. So, I mean, with that, but I will say this: all of this sucks if he also does not become king,
right?
So it's like I'm going through all this and I don't get to be king, bruh.
Yeah. Next tweet is from Deaconess Fenty. She says, "I hope at Josh O'Connor 15 gets an Emmy and a Golden Globe, because I never thought in a million years I would feel sorry for a young Prince
Charles."
He's
amazing. Josh O'Connor is an amazing actor. This is not an easy role.
He's changed the game and changed the public's perception of Charles.
Yes, yes.
We saw the closeness between Anne and Charles in this episode as well. And this tweet says, "I've been watching The Crown Netflix and would like to announce this is now a Princess Anne Stan account. Thank you."
Yes.
So go to at Tiggles 15 if you want to stand for Anne. Sarah Marks, speaking of Anne, has an epic photo where it says, "Scream if you love Princess Anne and her unimpressed face the most."
Yes, that needs to be a meme for something.
I love it. So
that is definitely the I need to speak to the manager face.
Exactly. And then the next tweet, I just thought this was so funny.
This is
very funny. It's from Puncturer. It says, "I always think of Fred Armisen when I think of Camilla Parker Bowles." And it's a picture of Fred Armisen playing Camilla on Saturday Night Live, which is hilarious. So that is our Tweets Are Talking segment. Now let's get into some news and gossip. Thank you very much. So someone in the royal family has been watching The Crown because we found out that, remember when in episode one, when they had the postal,
stamp?
The stamp, right. So what they ended up doing was the royal family responded to that low key. You know, they weren't overt, but they said, they tweeted out on the royal family Twitter, "These photographs were taken by Dorothy Wilding of Her Majesty in 1952, and they were used as the basis of the Queen's image on the postage stamps from 1953 until 1971. In two sittings, photographer Wilding took 59 images of the Queen. And then it also said that Arnold Machen's, excuse me if I mispronounced the name, Effigy of the Queen, which was featured on the UK stamp since 1967, is widely considered to be one of the most reproduced and iconic images in the world. It has been reprinted an estimated 220 billion times in more than 130 different colors with a U, the only way to spell it. So I thought that was great. You know, first it was on the crown, and then next thing you know, they go responding to it. So with a little backstory. And speaking of the queen, our original queen, Claire Foy, may be back in season 4. According to a Town and Country magazine article online, Foy, as you can see here, is pictured in her same wardrobe that Elizabeth wore for her 21st birthday. If we scroll back up to that white dress, yes. So we are thinking that this image was taken when she gave her speech in Cape Town. And on that broadcast, she had the famous line that says, "I declare before you all that my whole life, whether it be long or short, shall be devoted to your service and the service of our great imperial family to which we all belong." So, which I think that sums up Elizabeth in a sentence right there. But it says, at this point, it's unclear how this flashback ties into the larger plot of the 4th season, but maybe we'll also see Matt Smith. So head over to townandcountrymagazine.com to find out more.
Can't wait.
Yes. Well, in this episode, what was your favorite scene?
My favorite scene is definitely going to be the interaction between Elizabeth and Edward, and that reconciliation of sorts where she's about to kiss him but stops. Like, basically this is as close they're ever gonna be, but there is some type of closure there.
Yeah, when that morphine or whatever he was taking made him go to sleep, I was like, did he die in the wheelchair or not? And the fact that he like picked himself up out of his deathbed to get dressed and see his niece, I thought that spoke volumes. But the closure that they had in this episode and in that scene was also my favorite as well. Can you stop taking my favorite scenes?
Favorite scenes are favorites. We're kindred spirits.
You know how they say married people, like, after a while, they start looking alike, they start sounding alike.
I just think great minds think alike.
Okay, we'll say that as well. Well, Teron, where can they find out more about your great mind?
Well, you can find this great mind at I Am Teron all across the board. IAMTHRAN. And also hosting and paneling on a slew of other AfterBuzz after shows, because all of your favorite TV shows are my favorite TV shows too.
And you can find me at Say Hi Sahai. Please continue to hit us up in our comments and continue to watch our other after shows for The Crown right here on AfterBuzz TV. Happy Thanksgiving to everyone. We'll see you after the holiday for our last two episodes of The Crown After Show.
Cheerio.
Bye.
Our founder, Kevin Undergaro, and me, Maria Menounos, would like to thank you for tuning in to AfterBuzz TV. Remember, we're not just the first, we're the biggest in the world, and we're the only destination for all your favorite TV shows. Whatever you crave, we've got it. So go to AfterBuzzTV.com and check out our lineup. Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.